Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Geoff Thomas, and I'm Chairman of the company. I am taking a bit of a risk. It's about 1 or 2 minutes before the appointed start time, but I'm going to rely on no one else joining us. I'd like to formally welcome you to the combined annual general meeting of Growthpoint Properties Australia Limited and the general meeting of Growthpoint Properties Australia Trust. Please note that today's proceedings are being webcast live for the benefit of security holders not able to be present. A link to a recording of this webcast will be made available on Growthpoint's website approximately 2 hours after the close of today's meeting. As we have a quorum for these meetings, I'm pleased to declare the meetings officially opened. The notice of meetings was sent to all security holders on the 20th of October 2015, and I propose to take them as read. In addition to the security holders present, I'd like to welcome representatives of our auditors, Dean Waters and Rachel Mullen of KPMG, and of course our other directors. They are from your right, Tim Collier, our Managing Director. My order is wrong. Grant Jackson, Estienne de Klerk, Maxine Brenner, Norbert Sasse, and our Company Secretary, Aaron Hockley. Unfortunately, Francois Marais, who's chairman of Growthpoint South Africa, couldn't be with us today and he sends his apologies. I've already mentioned Aaron's name, but I'd also like to make mention of two of our other senior executives. Firstly, our chief financial officer, Dion Andrews, who's in the front row, and the bashful one, Michael Green, who's sitting in the third row, is head of our property business. Finally, I'd like to welcome a number of Growthpoint employees here. I imagine most of them are employees and shareholders, and it's good to see you here as well. The agenda for today is as follows: a presentation on the business and its strategy by Managing Director Tim Collier. I personally think that shareholders really like to hear from the Managing Director. It's good to read what we've done, but to actually hear from the person who's actually responsible for the day-to-day, the running of the business, is really important. And I've asked Tim to make a fulsome presentation to you, which I'm sure you'll enjoy. There's also a presentation of the combined annual report for the company and the trust. I will call for questions and comments following the presentation of these accounts. The company's auditors, KPMG, are in attendance to answer any questions security holders may have in relation to the audit, the auditor's report, the accounting policies adopted, and the independence of the auditor. Please address questions to me in the first instance, and I will direct them as appropriate. Finally, I will then explain the voting procedures and address each of the remaining items of business set out in the notice of meeting. Security holders will have the opportunity to ask questions and make comments in relation to each item. After the meeting, the directors, management and KPMG will be available for discussions with security holders over a light lunch. Ladies and gentlemen, Growthpoint Properties Australia has been in operation for over 6 years, growing from a $650 million externally managed industrial trust with a market capitalisation below $300 million in mid-2009, to an internally managed group with $2.5 billion of office and industrial assets and a market capitalisation in excess of $1.8 billion. Our results speak for themselves, including a 19.2% per annum total security holder return for the 5 years ended the 31st of October 2015. The group has been ably managed by Tim Collier and a consistent executive management team since establishment, and I wish to thank all of our employees as well as my fellow directors for the contribution to the success of your company. I'd now like to hand over to Tim to talk to you about the operations of the business itself.
Thank you, Geoff. Security holders, ladies and gentlemen, I welcome you to the AGM here today. Today, I'll provide an overview of the achievements of 2015, a review of the property portfolio, a review of leasing and acquisition success after our balance date, and comments on the outlook for the group and its focus. The financial year 2015 was an excellent year for the group. Financial returns were high. The portfolio was improved. Significant leasing was undertaken, and our balance sheet remains in good condition. Strategic goals of obtaining S&P ASX index inclusion and a debt credit rating were achieved. I'll move to the highlights of 2015, and firstly, the financial results. Growthpoint enjoyed a strong growth in distributable income. Some people refer to that as our earnings, some 6% higher than the prior year. So we distributed 19.7 cents on earnings of 21.2 cents per security. The distribution was 3.7 cents higher than the prior year. A highlight of the year was a 14.8% increase in our NTA per security to $2.48, substantially due to increases in the value of Growthpoint's property portfolio. The increase in the property portfolio was twofold. Firstly, successful leasing, where we extended leases and had a longer-term rental cash flow. And then secondly, lower yields in the market. And those lower yields were associated with strong demand for institutional property here in Australia. In regard to capital management, Growthpoint was pleased to obtain an investment grade rating in August and subsequently issued a $200 million fixed rate loan note for 10 years in March 2015. Our strategy is to issue more long-term debt in financial year 2016. As at 30th of June, balance sheet gearing was to the lower end of our target range of 35 to 45% at 37%. We've positioned ourselves well to diversify our sources of debt and extend the average duration of our debt maturities while interest rates are at historically low levels. As at 30th of June 2015, Growthpoint's average debt duration was 4.7 years. With a first debt maturity in December 2017. Jeff commented on our security holder returns, and I'm pleased to say they were particularly good in financial year 15. Both total security holder returns, so our ASX returns, the change in the ASX price and the distribution, and our return on equity. In financial year 15, the total security holder return was 36.4%. And from memory, back to those results, I think we were the second best performing REIT in the A-REIT 200 or 300, I think it was A-REIT 300. We have also had a 21.3% return over a five-year period to 30th of June. A 23.9% return on equity for financial year 2015 and a 67.3% return over 5 years have been pleasing. Total security holder returns have benefited by Growthpoint's inclusion into the S&P ASX 200 index and the MSCI Global Small Cap Index, improving investor appeal and liquidity of the group's securities. Oops. Move to the portfolio and provide an overview of that. Growthpoint maintains a modern portfolio with quality tenants, long-term leases and rising rents. The property portfolio is split evenly between office and industrial assets, is valued at $2.4 billion at balance sheet date and moving towards that 2.5 as Jess commented, has a weighted average lease expiry of 6.6 years and has a weighted average fixed rent review of 3%. We also have 97% occupancy. The property is valued on a weighted average capitalisation rate of 7.3, which was 0.6% lower than that of 30th of June 2014. Given good prices paid for individual properties and major portfolios in Australia, and we've had two recent examples of portfolio sales. Firstly, the GIC Frasers portfolio that sold for over $1 billion in the industrial sector, and the $2.45 billion investor office portfolio. We believe that the weighted average capitalisation rate of the Growthpoint portfolio is relatively conservative. To continue on regarding the property portfolio, and slide 7 has key themes that I'll draw to your attention, and these are the limited lease expiries in the short term, short to medium term, and the quality of the tenancy base of the property portfolio. You'll see that the with an average, with a vacancy rate, of 3%, no lease expiries in financial year 2016, and only 5% of rent expiring in financial year 2017. Rental cash flow of the group is relatively secure. Whilst working on leasing existing vacancies, we also have time to secure the early reletting of some of the financial year 17 lease expiries. You'll see there also the top 10 tenants of Growthpoint, which account for about 60% of our income. And they include Woolworths, the State Government of New South Wales, GE, one of the largest corporations in the world, Lynn Fox, our largest privately owned logistics operator, and of course the Commonwealth Government. When leasing vacant space or purchasing a new property, Growthpoint concentrates on the quality of the tenant coming to the portfolio and their creditworthiness. And we do a lot of work on our tenants and their financial capacity. I'll move to post June 2015 and provide a bit of an update of what we have been doing since that time. Firstly, on acquisitions, Growthpoint has been busy in financial year 2016, announcing the acquisition of three properties for a total consideration of $92 million. Despite the competitive nature of the commercial real estate market in Australia, Growthpoint has continued to find opportunities for investment, improving and diversifying the property portfolio, and whilst providing attractive risk-adjusted returns for security holders. You'll see the three properties we have purchased there, an industrial property in Adelaide for $20.8 million, a large land holding that is used as a car storage area next to a port in New South Wales, and also Building C. We've just recently announced that we've purchased a second property from Australand, an office building in Mulgrave, which is substantially leased to BMW. The properties, diversified by sector, geography, lease term and tenant, provide for a weighted income yield of approximately 7.3%. On average, they have a long weighted lease term of 7.3 years and rising rental income with a weighted average rent review of about 3.4%. Assets acquired feature quality tenants, including Patrick Autocare, a subsidiary of Asciano, and BMW. These acquisitions complement the existing portfolio and provide an attractive yield, and have been funded by using some of Growthpoint's existing debt headroom. Post-June leasing. Rental income is the primary source of revenue of the group, and we spend a large amount of time and effort securing leases with quality tenants. We have direct communication with all of our tenants, each one of those, and involve ourselves with all negotiations with new tenants to the portfolio when we have a vacancy. So we understand our tenants very well. Over 100,000 square metres has been leased within the portfolio since the start of financial year 2015, representing 9.7% of the portfolio lettable area. Once again, we have been busy since June 2015, leasing 35,000 square metres with an average lease term of 7.3 years. Highlights of recent activity include a major lease extension to Jacobs Engineering, over 8,200 square metres of office space at our property in South Brisbane, the SW1 office complex, almost 2,000 square metres at 333 Ann Street, Brisbane, and we had a lease renewal to Aurora Limited of 5 years at the property we acquired in May in Knoxfield. So we purchased that property with a short-term lease, and subsequently we have extended that lease, which has been a very good result. We have a slide here on the Brisbane CBD leasing exposure, and I just wanted to comment on that in particular. Our Brisbane CBD leasing exposure is limited. Australian office markets are improving with lower vacancy rates in key markets of Sydney and Melbourne. Other markets which have exposure to the mining and resources sector, principally Brisbane and Perth, will take longer to see their vacancy rates stabilise than fall. I thought it would be beneficial to highlight our exposure to the Brisbane CBD leasing market and further highlight that we have no exposure at all to the Perth office market. Off Growthpoint's investment in Queensland, $454 million is in the office sector and $245 million is in the industrial sector. Of our office investment, it's principally in three properties, and they're listed up the top there. Firstly, the SW1 A-grade office complex in South Brisbane. This is valued at almost $270 million. The South Brisbane submarket has a vacancy rate of only 6%, whereas the Brisbane CBD has a vacancy rate of 15%. The complex we own there enjoys high occupancy, a long weighted average lease expiry. We have enjoyed good leasing success at the complex, extending major leases to large corporate tenants and also introducing new tenants. Rents we are achieving at SW1 are far higher than when we purchased the properties in 2010 and 11, and the incentives granted to incoming tenants are far lower than those in the Brisbane CBD. And our leasing campaign at SW1 is ongoing, and we hope to announce further leasing progress with that property in the near term. The second property is the Energex Nunda property, which is purchased as a development fund through in 2012 and was pre-leased to the Queensland State Government, Utilities, Energex and Power Corp. The weighted average lease expiry for this property is 11 years and the property enjoys 100% occupancy. So we have no risk whatsoever on significant office leasing with that property. The third property is 333 Ann Street in Brisbane, and that is valued at $91 million. It represents 3.8% of Growthpoint's property portfolio. With two major tenants leaving the property in June 2015, the property is around 50% leased. And for that 50% lease component, the weighted average lease expiry is 5.4 years. So that is very well tenanted. The Brisbane CBD market is a difficult market, as I said, with a vacancy rate of 15%. However, Growthpoint has been very active in the market with its leasing campaign and has reflected the difficult leasing environment within its guidance forecast. We anticipate the building's vacancy of about 8,000 square metres will be leased progressively over the next 12 months or so. In summary, Growthpoint's exposure to the Brisbane CBD leasing market is not significant, and we have a good track record in the Brisbane market. Achievement of our current distribution guidance, as well as distribution growth into the future, is not reliant on leasing 333 Ann Street vacancies quickly. I'll provide some comments on the outlook, and firstly, market conditions and the property market. Tenancy demand. The Australian office market has a vacancy rate nationally of about 10.4%, with positive net absorption being observed in the key markets of Melbourne and Sydney, reducing their vacancy rate. Stronger business demand and the withdrawal of older stock for residential redevelopment has been witnessed in these markets. National industrial property market gross take-up for calendar year 2015 is solid and is expected to be at or near the 10-year average. 2015 is expected to be the low point in the near-term supply cycle. In regard to investment markets and capital values, we have seen over the past 12 months, but probably last 24 months, record transaction volumes in the Australian commercial property market. Offshore investors have been dominant, attracted to the high yields of Australian commercial real estate on a global comparison. The spread between yields, income yields from property, and the borrowing costs, of course, the lower dollar against a number of major currencies after significant depreciation has attracted them into our market and our stable economy with moderate growth. Several large property portfolios have sold at record prices and record yields. Capital values have risen, and it is expected that capitalisation rates will compress further, certainly to relative to capitalisation rates in our book values, with sales completed and those transactions being completed now. Many researchers expect a stabilisation of yields later in 2016, and this would be logical given a forecast rise in global long-term interest rates. Continuing the outlook and more specific comment on the A-REIT market. A-REITs offer an attractive risk-adjusted yield with distribution growth. Inflation in Australia is low, and the yields on offer for investors chasing income are attractive. M&A activity has been significant in 2015, and this is expected to continue into 2016. Small to medium-sized IPOs will continue for really good offerings only. We expect the volatility of the equity markets to continue with a focus on the US Federal Reserve's raising interest rates after 8 years. The strength of the Chinese economy and global security being the major issues. We believe A-REIT investment, such as that into Growth Point, in this environment will remain an attractive option for investment. In regard to interest rates, the outlook for borrowers such as Growth Point remain very positive. The RBA has indicated the official cash rate will remain low for the period ahead, and for borrowers, rates are at historically low rates. Long-dated swaps and bond yields may rise slightly as the US Federal Reserve actually raises interest rates. The outlook for our group. Growth Point Properties Australia is well positioned with a stable income from a growing rental income stream. Our major office assets, such as SW1 in South Brisbane, as I said, valued at $270 million, and the New South Wales Police Headquarters in Parramatta, valued at $262 million, are located in strong office markets. Parramatta, for example, experienced a 13% growth in A-grade effective rents over the past 12 months and was the best performing office market in the country. Our industrial portfolio enjoys 100% occupancy and is a sought after asset class for investment. We are pleased with new acquisitions which contribute growth to the group. Returns and outlook. Recent returns have been good, with a compound return, as Jeff said before, up to the 31st of October for a five-year period of 19.2% per annum and 15% over the last year. Our current financial year distribution yield of 6.6%, so that's our distribution for this year divided by our ASX price, 6.6%, is attractive versus the A-REIT sector, and it's about 150-160 basis points higher. Guidance for financial year 2016 of at least 21.3% per security for distributable income and a distribution of 20.5 cents per security, up 4.1% on the prior year, is reaffirmed. Finally, I'd like to obviously thank all our security holders for their support, other stakeholders, including our auditors and our lawyers, of course the board, who provide great experience, wisdom and support, and also all of our employees for their contribution to the group over the past 12 months. Thank you.
Thanks, Tim. Ladies and gentlemen, I turn to the first official item of business for the combined meetings, being to receive and consider the combined financial reports and the reports of the directors and the auditors in respect of the company and the trust for the financial year ending 30 June 2015. A combined annual report for the company and the trust was sent to those security holders who elected to receive it, and it was also made available on the websites of the ASX and the group. Hard copies of the annual report are also on each of your chairs. In addition to the board and management, our auditors are in attendance to answer any questions you may have. Would anyone like to ask any questions or make comment about this item of business? If there's no questions, I'll move on to the next item. The remaining items of business on today's agenda involve consideration of five resolutions set out in the notice of meeting. Four of the proposed resolutions, comprising agenda items 2, 3 and 5 in your notices of meeting, relate to the company only. Agenda item 4 relates to both the company and the trust. The proposed resolutions relating to items of business numbered 2, 3 and 4 are ordinary resolutions which require a 50% majority of votes cast in favour to be carried. The last proposed resolution, item 5, is a special resolution which requires at least 75% of votes cast in favour to be carried. All resolutions will be determined by a show of hands unless a poll is required. On a show of hands, each person present who is a security holder or who represents a security holder by proxy or as a representative has one vote. Details of proxies received on each item of business will be shown on the screen behind me after discussion of that item of business. I am holding open proxies in my capacity as chairman, and it is my intention to vote all available proxies in favour of each resolution. Can I now move to item 2, which is the remuneration report of the company only? The next item of business asks shareholders to adopt the company's remuneration report. This is a non-binding advisory vote of shareholders. Although this resolution is not binding, The board will give due regard to the outcome of the vote when considering future remuneration policies. The proposed resolution appears on the screen in front of you now. I'll ask for questions, but before doing so, if you have any questions that relate to the proposed issue of performance rights to the Managing Director, please hold those questions and raise them when we come to discuss Agenda Item 4. Are there any questions or comments in relation to the Remuneration Report? If not, I'll move on. I'll put the motion. Before you vote on this resolution, I'd like to give you details of the proxies received for these resolutions. Details of the proxies received are now displayed on the screen in front of you. You can see the proxies are strongly in favour of the report. As set out in the notice of meeting, a voting exclusion applies to this item of business under the Corporations Act. All those in favour of the resolution, please raise your hand so your voting cards are visible. Thank you. Those against the resolution, please raise your hands. Thank you, sir. Based on the proxies and the show of hands, I declare the resolution carried. Can I now move on to the next item, which is the re-elections? I should also note that, bearing in mind that the resolution was passed by more than 75% of the votes cast, it obviously avoids the issue of what's called the two strikes principles, but I do note that issue. Can I now move on to the re-elections of directors? As I'm one of the directors standing for re-election, I think it's good governance if I hand over the chair of this section of the meeting to one of my fellow directors, Grant Jackson.
Thank you, Jeff. The proposed resolutions appear on the screen in front of you now. I'll call for voting on each resolution separately. The details of the qualifications and experience of each candidate are set out in the notice of meetings. Are there any questions from anyone or any comments in regards to any of these two resolutions? If there are no questions, I will now put the motions. Before you vote on these resolutions, I would like to give you details of the proxies received for these resolutions. Details of those proxies are now displayed on the screen in front of you. As you will see, an overwhelming vote in favour. So I'll now ask all those in favour of the election of our Chairman, Geoffrey Tomlinson, please raise your hands so that your voting cards are visible. Thank you. Those against the resolution, please raise your hands so that your voting cards are visible. Thank you. I declare that the resolution is carried. All those in favour of the re-election of Maxine Brenner, please raise your card so that your voting cards are visible. Thank you. Those against the resolution, would you please raise your hand so the voting cards are visible. I'm pleased to say that the resolution is also carried. Congratulations. Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks, Ryan. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like now to move on to item number 4, which is the approval of grant of performance rights to Tim Collier, our Managing Director. The next proposed resolution is now displayed on the screen in front of you. I'll let you actually have a quick look at that. I have to say that as late as today, an error was actually found in the notice of meeting, meaning that the approval we are seeking today will just be for the first tranche of this award. We will seek approval for the remaining three tranches of the FY15 performance rights at next year's annual general meeting, along with approval for his 2016 long-term incentive award. All of the calculations in the remainder of the notice of meeting are correct and match the details in the remuneration report. I apologize for this error. It wasn't intended to mislead anyone. I think this is a very practical solution to an error, and I'm happy to take any questions in relation to the error and how we've rectified it, but it has happened, and we will definitely come back at the 2016 annual general meeting seeking approval for what I call the second, third, and fourth tranche of the award, which is granted in respect to the year ending June 2015. So, are there any questions or comments in relation to this matter? I will now put the motion. Again, before you vote on this resolution, I'd like to give you details of the proxy votes. You've got the voting there. So all those in favour, please raise your red cards. All those against? Thank you. Thank you for that. I declare the resolution carried. Item 5, the final item, deals with the approval of renewal of proportional takeover provisions for a further 3 years in respect to the company only. There's a detailed explanation of this in the notice of meeting. The next resolution is now displayed on the screen in front of you. Well, this resolution is displayed on the screen in front of you. I'll allow you a little bit of time to read that. By way of background to this resolution, the company's constitution, which contained provisions dealing with proportional takeovers, was adopted by the company in June 2009, and the provisions were renewed in accordance with the Corporations Act in November 2012. Under the Corporations Act, proportional takeover provisions cease to have effect after 3 years if they are not renewed within that time. Accordingly, approval is now sought for the renewal of Rule 8 in respect to the proportional takeover bids as set out in the notice of meetings. Are there any questions or comments? If there's no questions, I'll now put the motion. Before you vote on this resolution, again, I'd like to display the proxy votes. All those in favour of the resolution, please raise your red cards. Against, I declare the motion carried. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll soon close the meeting. As I said previously, after the meeting, we are serving a light lunch. And as I mentioned, there is a number of our senior executives.
I've got a question now. Franking credits, what's the situation in the company? I understand at the moment they're not giving out franking credits.
Do you want to?
I might check that off. Franking credits would be associated with the distribution from...
Excuse me, just for our recording purposes. Franking credits would be with a distribution from the company only, or a dividend from the company only. At the moment, 100% of the distribution is coming from the trust, where franking credits are not associated. So if in future, if we do make a dividend payment from the company, there would be franking credits, but the vast majority of the profits sit from the trust.
Is there any other questions? Yes, sir.
I notice that your dividend reinvestment plan has been suspended, and it's now under review. And I just wanted to see is there any further comments that can be made. Previously, I think it was a 2% discount, although I'm not 100% sure about that.
It was 2%.
Yeah. Could consider, if it's going to be reintroduced, could it be... A larger discount be considered, perhaps 5%, in view of the fact that the units are trading considerably above the NTA?
Well, I will answer the question. I suppose I'm pretty happy the price is well and truly above the NTA, because I think it indicates confidence the securities have in the stock. We look on the dividend reinvestment plan is part of our total capital management processes, and it are under review all the time. And in the event that we do decide on reactivating the DRP, one of the major discussions we have is in relation to the discount. I can't possibly predict at this stage what discount would be applied in the event that it's reactivated. That'll be something for the board to consider after listening to recommendations to the managing director and the chief financial officer and the circumstances prevailing at that time. I know obviously security holders like the largest possible discount. We understand that, but it's part of the balance we have in terms of reactivating the DRP and consider it in the totality of our capital management plans.
Good. Yeah, well, I kind of, as a shareholder, would like to reinvest if it's able to do that. The other thing was the RBA is concerned at the moment about what's happening in commercial property, and they've issued some concerns about this. The September quarter, $4.7 billion was invested by the banks. And I just wondered, like a comment as to how you feel about this in relationship to the portfolio of commercial properties.
Yeah, I think I'll make one comment then ask our managing director to actually make a comment, is that there's no doubt you're seeing tightening of cap rates in the marketplace, and it's something which we monitor very carefully. We're very concerned about, not concerned, we monitor things and assess them when we're looking into the acquisition of another property or disposal of another property, and make sure we're taking actions which actually support our long-term objective of giving basically steady and consistent increase in distributions to our security holders. So it's something which we monitor very carefully. But in terms of the general market conditions, maybe, Tim, you'd like to make further comment? Do you want to come up here?
We would think that obviously property goes through cycles, and interest rates are at record lows. The RBA cash rate is low. Global inflation is low, and we have record global investment. So funds coming offshore. The world economy is full of liquidity, and a lot of money is coming from offshore into our real estate market. So, we are cautious. We have, over the past 12 months, actually bid on billions of dollars of real estate, and in several cases missed out by a fair margin, 10% or more from the final price. So so we are cautious. The yields are somewhat relative to the cost of debt. There is still a significant spread, so that is encouraging. Where there's a spread and you put some equity in there, your return on equity obviously is magnified. So we don't believe it's so overpriced that we would not buy further property. We still believe, despite prices being, relatively strong, there's a number of benefits for us to grow the business, and those benefits are diversification by property type, by tenant, by location. A bigger, more robust portfolio is a good thing for us. Obviously, if we have a larger portfolio, we have to fund that. And what we can do is issue long-term debt on the debt side, long-term debt, so we don't have refinancing continually over a shorter period, so that can assist us. And then on the equity side, if we issue more equity to a wider range of investors, that helps liquidity. So that liquidity has driven the price when we went into the 300 index and into the 200. Eventually, one day we may get into the 100. So we would like to expand the portfolio. It's good for our debt, good for our equity, good for the portfolio. But we are, relatively cautious, and we've been, sticking to our guns on numerous transactions that have been presented, and other parties have paid much larger prices. So, as Jeff said, at the end of the day, when we buy a property, we look at it, how does it fit into the portfolio, what are the financial metrics of funding that, and then how does that assist us with our distribution going over the medium term. They're the key criteria we look at. And
if you thought there was a hype up in the commercial, would you then be looking more in the industrial area, or do you just kind of want to keep this balance?
We have the ability to weight up one sector versus the other. We're not wedded to an exact 50-50 split. I don't anticipate over the short to medium term that would be 80-20 or what have you. It would probably be not far from the 50, but we will weight up. And we will over the balance of this year also look to recycle some properties, sell some properties, particularly where we believe someone is willing to pay more than we think it's worth, given the individual property circumstances of it, lease expiry, tenant, location. Someone might price that asset different to us, and we could be beneficiaries of potentially selling properties at good prices. So, but generally speaking, we'd like to grow the business, it's just where prices are high and competition is strong, it just means it's tougher for us. We have to look under more rocks, think about a variety of different types of transactions, look at development, look at M&A, look at single assets, look at off-market opportunities directly with sellers, and not get caught up in the frenzy of the bidding, particularly against well-capitalized offshore parties.
Yeah, thank you for that. I got burnt previously when the property trust at that time got badly crunched.
Yes.
And so that came about through a lot of hype.
Yes.
So I'm pleased to hear your conservative approach to this.
Yes.
Because at some point interest rates will go up and there will be an impact.
Yes.
But thank you again for the presentation today, Mr.
Chairman. Thank you. Any further questions? Yes, sir.
Tim, when Tim, you gave your presentation, you mentioned that the company had achieved investment grade rating and that there'd been an issue of corporate bonds. Can you tell us what the coupon rate was on those bonds?
I think we can. So that was an issue in March 2015. So what it was, a lot of the, with a credit rating, you can issue a medium-term note, a bond, into the Australian institutional market, and a lot of our AREIT peers are borrowing from the USPP market. So that's the big life insurers and life companies and insurers in the US, and they lend to our REITs for 10, 12, 15 years in US dollars, and then they swap that back. After our credit rating, we were looking at a various number of different types of debt issuance, and an intermediary introduced us to one of the US private placement players, a large US life insurer, and we fielded a direct inquiry, a bilateral inquiry, and we issued $200 million debt for in Australian dollars. So there's no hedging. We've got Australian assets, we've got Australian debt for a 10-year fixed term. And that the all-in rate was about 4.75%. So very attractive rate versus the yield of our property that we have, what we can buy at, but also, on a historic long-term basis. So it's fantastic, for $200 million of your debt, not to have to be refinancing it all the time. You're not subject to fluctuation in rates over a period of time, and of course you're locking in a very good rate long term. So we would hope to do more of those style of transactions, and in fact, with that issuance, It was a first for the REITs where that there was a private placement of Australian dollar debt to a REIT in Australia. What we're trying to do is open that market up where further transactions such as that occur, but also inviting our domestic Australian super funds to also be there as a debt provider for long-term debt. Because in Australia, our banks typically lend to 5 years. They don't like lending more than 5 years because of the constraints on their capital. They have to put more capital aside if they lend long-term. So it would be good if Australian superannuation funds, and we have offshore parties, if that direct placement of debt with Australian REITs develop more, and we're trying to encourage that, and we're at the forefront of that market.
So I'd just like to add a little bit to what Tim said. We currently have exposure to the Australian banks, and while what's been offered by some of these other lenders is very, very attractive indeed, it will always be our intention to have some exposure to the Australian banks. So we think that balance, we haven't worked out what the percentage should be, and I was just talking to Dion about that the other day, but having exposure to the Australian banks is very important for us. They've treated us well, and we have exposure, and I suspect we'll have exposure to the Australian banks through lending for some period of time to come. Are there any other questions or comments? If not, can I thank you very much for your attendance. As I said previously, I think in this room or another room we'll soon serve a light lunch in this room. And please really encourage the security holders present to either talk to Tim, talk to some of my board colleagues, or there's a number of people around here who've got tags on like mine which indicate that they are associated or employed by GrowthPoint, and please feel free to talk to them and ask them questions. Again, thank you very much for your attendance, and we look forward to seeing you next year. Thank you.